Oh, God bless all of you for making the effort to come out here and on a rainy, possibly rainy day and in the tar pit and to meet in the tent to worship the Lord. You know, I think the Lord honors that sacrifice. It's an act of worship, isn't it? So when are we going to be in this new building anyway? I hope, and I think it's a very good possibility, that we could be meeting in there our first Sunday morning on August 12th. That would be 3 weeks from today. It's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of things have to go just so, but I think we can be in there on August 12th, possibly August 19th. But, hey, we're almost there! We are almost there. So, and then we are planning to have a big building dedication service that will open to the whole community. And we're going to have that in late September. And we're going to have some special musical guests come in. And Pastor Poncho is going to be with us. My Pastor Skip is going to be with us, most likely. We're still working out schedules just to have a grand celebration. It's been an amazing journey, hasn't it? It really has. And what God has done is just amazing. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, as Bruce said, we're starting again our Wednesday night services. And we're going to have a communion service on that Wednesday night. So I'd like you all to make plans to be out for that Wednesday night communion service. And we are going to worship the Lord and thank Him for all that He's done at that time. And just have a great kickoff to midweek services again. So let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 12. And you just watch. The last person that walks out of this tent on the last Sunday that we're in this tent, the tent's going to go. God is just going to get us through this tent. So, Father, we want to open our hearts now to what You have for us from Your Word. Give us strong direction this morning. Give us encouragement. Let us be ever mindful of how glorious and wonderful You are. And of Your great love for us. And, Father, I want to pray up front here for salvation. That if you have by chance drawn anyone to this place here this morning who has yet to receive you, that salvation would take place this morning. And that we as your people would be greatly, greatly encouraged. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The fear of the Lord is mentioned many times in the book of Proverbs. In fact, that's the theme of the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. Let me mention a few things that it says about the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. There we find out that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. According to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the key to life. It really is. And we should live in the fear of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is recognizing the matchless glory and greatness of God. It's being ever mindful of his supremely esteemed position. It's always coming before God in an attitude of absolute reverence, humility, submission, respect. Fearing the Lord is also recognizing that God is ultimate authority over us. That all of us are accountable to God, that we will one day answer to Him, and that God literally holds our destiny in His hands. That's the fear of the Lord, living your life ever mindful of that. Now, if you live your life in the fear of the Lord, you will live a remarkable life. You will live a godly life. You will live wisely. God will use your life and make a mighty impact. But you need to live in the fear of the Lord. I'd like us to see what the fear of the Lord does for us as Christians this morning in our text this morning. And if you're a note taker, this would be point number one. The fear of the Lord keeps us from hypocrisy. The fear of the Lord keeps us from hypocrisy. Look at this warning that Jesus gives his disciples as chapter 12 of Luke begins. Verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he, Jesus, began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Jesus warned his disciples to beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Be on your guard against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now remember, hypocrisy is basically pretending, right? It's wearing a mask. It's putting on a show. It's acting. It's deliberately saying things and behaving in ways to get other people to believe that you're something that you are not, in fact, in reality. That's hypocrisy. And as we learned last week, the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, were total hypocrites. They looked so holy, they sounded so holy, perhaps they even smelled holy, I don't know. But they put on this incredible religious performance, while inside they were rotten. They really looked the part. They'd wear the robes, they'd say the long prayers, they'd do all the fasting. They kept all these very strict, detailed religious rituals and traditions, and people saw them and said, wow, what a religious person. But inside, they were rotten. They were not true. They were hypocrites. Some years ago, a remarkable picture was exhibited in London. As you looked at the picture from a distance, you seemed to see a monk engaged in prayer. Hands clasped, head bowed. But as you come nearer to the painting and you examine it more closely, you saw that in reality, he was squeezing a lemon into a punch bowl. That is a perfect picture of the Pharisees. They looked sweet, but they were lemons. Sour lemons. They were playing a game. And Jesus says, don't be fooled by their religious performance. Don't adhere to their teachings. stand clear of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And certainly that is what we should do. We should stay away from religious leaders or religions that teach an external sort of approach to God and neglect the inner transformation that is required and necessary and only obtained by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus is warning them against hypocrisy, and I also believe that Jesus is speaking to them directly about hypocrisy. He's saying, disciples, guard yourself against becoming hypocrites like the Pharisees. Don't play games. Don't put on shows. Be real. And I think Jesus would say that to all of us as Christians this morning. Keep yourself guarded from allowing any hypocrisy to come into your life. Don't play game. Don't put on grand Christian performances in front of your Christian friends and then lead non-Christian lives in front of everybody else. Be real. Be genuine. Don't play games. Hypocrisy is deadly. Hypocrisy is dangerous. And here's why. Hypocrisy spreads. And hypocrisy spreads corruption. Isn't it interesting how Jesus refers to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees there at the end of verse 1? Beware of the what? The leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven is yeast that is used to produce fermentation in dough, right? Causing it to rise, causing it to puff up. Yeast is a very little substance, and it works very slowly, but it slowly and surely works through an entire batch of dough, causing the whole thing to rise, to puff up. Well, Jesus likened the hypocrisy of the Pharisees to leaven. The hypocrisy of the religious leaders was slowly but surely working its way through the entire nation of Israel, corrupting all the Jewish people. They were hypocrites. Their teaching was causing others to be hypocrites. And it was just spreading corruption throughout the whole congregation, throughout the whole body. And mark my words, hypocrisy will spread in your life. If you give one area to a compromise with the world, one area in your life, and if you begin to play little games with God and pretend with God in one little area, it's going to be much easier for the same thing to happen in other areas of your life. And slowly but surely, over time, it'll corrupt you. It will discredit you as a Christian. It will discredit your witness. And hypocrisy in our lives as individuals will spread to other Christians. It'll spread to your family. Parent, if you're a hypocrite, let me tell you who knows it. Your kids. Kids know the real deal, man. They can spot it. Hypocrisy will spread in the church. Hypocrisy spreads slowly, and it corrupts, and it can cause... I mean, if you got a bunch of Christians playing games with God, but meeting and worshiping the Lord on Sundays and acting religious, but then going out into the community and living like the devil, that's no good, is it? Be mindful of hypocrisy. Be on guard against hypocrisy. No shows. Just be real. What is the number one complaint that non-believers, or let me say it this way, what is the number one excuse that non-believers use?
about not coming to church.
I ain't going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites in church.
Right? How many of you have heard that one? I've heard that a lot. For the most part, that's a lame excuse. There are non-believers out there that sort of think that every Christian needs to be absolutely perfect. And their definition of hypocrisy is any Christian who goes to church and is not perfect. If that's the definition of hypocrite, then I'm a hypocrite. And I would say to the person who makes that excuse, come to church. There's room for one more hypocrite. Christians aren't perfect. Hypocrisy, though, remember, is pretending. It's putting on the show. It's preaching hard and looking spiritual and saying all the right things. Deliberately doing that while in your life sinning against it. That's hypocrisy. That's what we need to guard against. And unfortunately, I believe the church has given the world lots of material to boost its claims about hypocrisy. When high-profile Christian leaders fall into gross acts of sin, when high-profile Christian leaders speak out against the sin of homosexuality and sit on boards that come against same-sex marriages or whatever in the country of America, and then they're found out to be actually engaging in homosexual sex. Doesn't that just ruin our credibility? The world looks on that and says, ha! Right. Let me tell you, hypocrisy is deadly. And if you just take one step down that road, it'll spread. How do you keep yourself from hypocrisy? Here it is. Live in the fear of the Lord. Live in the fear of the Lord. Two theological terms that theologians use concerning God. They're big words. You've probably heard them before. Omniscient. God is omniscient. What does that mean? That means that God is all-knowing. God knows everything that there is to know. God knows everything that can be known. God knows all about us. God knows all about our lives. Our lives are open books. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motivations. He knows our deeds. He knows our words. He knows everything about you. Here's another word. Omnipresent. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. God sees everything. Nobody escapes the gaze of God. He sees you wherever you go. He sees me wherever I go. He sees us on Sunday morning. He sees us on Saturday nights. Hypocrisy is useless, isn't it? It doesn't work. You may be able to fool other people. But can you fool God? Can you pull one over on God? Absolutely not. Live knowing that and remembering that about the Lord. He sees all. He knows all. That will guard you from hypocrisy. So Jesus says to them in verse 2, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Strong word in the Greek language, covered. It speaks of something that is tightly sealed, covered on all sides, buttoned up, veiled completely. Man, there may be an area in your life that you think you got all sealed off. You got the ultimate cover-up going, man. It's buttoned up tight. It's secret. Nobody's going to find out. One day it will be totally revealed. Totally uncovered. The scripture says you can be sure that your sin will find you out. And you can also be sure that your cover-up will also be exposed as well. Because God is omniscient, He's omnipresent, He knows all. It's interesting how your sins can find you out. There was a family who invited another family over to their house after church for lunch. It was a really, really hot day. And they're kind of, man, why did we invite these people over? But all right, we'll do it. And so they came over and they got down and were ready to eat. And the mom asked four-year-old Johnny to say the prayer. And Johnny said, well, I don't know what to say. And mom said, oh, just say what you hear me say. So Johnny bowed his head and mumbled, oh, Lord, why did I invite these people over? Yikes. Oh, your sin will find you out. Hypocrisy is totally exposed. Jesus says in verse 3, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Did you hear that? Jesus said, what you have spoken in the ear, that's whisper, what you have whispered in inner rooms, that is vaults, safe houses, top secret conference rooms, will be proclaimed from the housetops. So don't play the game with God. And don't ever forget that God is there with you. He knows you. And don't play games and just be genuine. The fear of the Lord keeps you from hypocrisy. Point two. And I love this one. This one gave me so much comfort and confidence this week as I studied. The fear of the Lord keeps you from fearing man. Listen, the fear of the Lord will cure your fear of man. Look what Jesus continues in verse 4. He says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. It is the fear of man and wasps that gives us so much trouble as Christians. We fear man. So many Christians get so preoccupied with pleasing man and they're worried that they're not going to be liked by other men or women. They're not going to be popular. And so a Christian won't witness. A Christian won't take a stand for Christ because they're afraid of man. They're going to be rejected or made fun of. Or a Christian won't make a stand for Christ at work because, oh, that might have a negative impact on his outlook with the boss. Might miss a promotion or two. Or a Christian might be afraid to really stand for Christ in the workplace because they're going to get turned into the politically correct police. Or family members are going to make fun of them or reject them. Or they're going to lose good friends. That gives so many Christians so much trouble. And you know what? It's a snare. If you fear man, it just leads to a trap. Again, in the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You know, the disciples,
they would face much greater dangers than you and I face in America. The disciples would be imprisoned for their faith as Christians. They would be beaten. The majority of the disciples would eventually be martyred, killed, for their faith in Christ Jesus. And you know, there are many Christians in other countries even today that face those similar kinds of dangers. But still, even to them, in a situation like that, Jesus says in verse 4, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. Guys, gals, people can hurt us. There is absolutely no question. And as a Christian, you can be hurt very deeply by people. You can face severe persecution and it can be very, very painful. But remember this. Man can only hurt you physically. Can't hurt you spiritually. Can't touch your soul. And man can only hurt you temporarily. Can't hurt you for all of eternity. Can't hurt you in eternity. What's the worst that a person can do to you? The worst thing that we can conceive of. Kill you. But even Jesus says, look, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Even if they kill you, they can only kill you physically. Can they kill your soul? They kill you and they end this temporary life. Can you be touched in the next life, which lasts for all of eternity? We are not to fear man. But some of you do fear man. Some of you are paralyzed in your Christian walks. How can you get rid of that fear of man? Replace it with the fear of the Lord. Who should we really fear, Christian? God. Look what Jesus says in verse 5. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now there are some people that say that that verse is speaking about Satan. It's not. Satan doesn't have the power to cast us into hell. And if you're a Christian, then Satan has no say over you. He's a defeated foe. That verse is speaking about God. Listen, God holds our lives in His hand. God has the power over the eternal destiny of our souls. Man can hurt us physically. God has the power to hurt us spiritually. Man can hurt us temporarily. God has the power to condemn a soul eternally. Who should you be more concerned about? God or man? God. Who should you be most concerned about pleasing? God or man? God. He's the highest. Let your fear of the Lord replace any fear that you have of man. Amen? And let me tell you guys, if you live in the fear of the Lord, it really does simplify life. If you live your life mindful of these things, it simplifies your life. Here's how it simplifies your life. In any situation or circumstance that you face in life, all you have to do is find out what pleases God and do that. Right? Amen. It takes away all the confusion.
But Terry, what are they going to say about me back at school if they're not going to lie?
So what?
But that might really spoil my chances of being promoted at work. So what? What's more important? God. Fear Him. You won't be standing before your friends at school in eternity and having to give an account to them. Who will you be standing before? God. Please Him. Now, I think that's a very heavy thing to say. Fear Him who hath the power to cast your soul into hell. I think that's a very, very heavy thing. And I'm really glad that Jesus goes on to season that a bit. Look what He says in verse 6. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Listen, Christian. Listen, my brother and sister in Christ. When you fear the Lord, you are fearing the one who knows you best and loves you the most. And don't ever forget that. God is a good God. And He loves us. And He cares about us so much. Fearing God as a Christian isn't like, oh no, God's out to get me, and if I make one mistake, He's going to cast me into hell. You shouldn't think about it like that. Although you should respect His power and awesomeness. But listen, if you've given your life to Christ, you're a child of God and He has saved you from hell. Your sins are forgiven and you are a child of God. And God loves you and knows you intimately, knows you best, and knows what's absolutely best for you. Fear Him. He's really on your side. He really wants what's best. He knows you the best. It says He knows the very number of hairs on your head. For some of you, that's a little easier for God. But He knows the very number of hairs on your head. Think about that. The psalmist says that every tear you've ever shed, He's put in a bottle. He knows you thoroughly. And you are so valuable to Him. Fear Him. Fear the one who has most power over you. Fear the one who loves you the most. Fear the one who knows you the best. Doesn't that just make sense? Fear of the Lord keeps you from hypocrisy. The fear of the Lord keeps you from fearing man. Point 3. The fear of the Lord will make you a bold witness. The fear of the Lord will make you a bold witness. Look what Jesus says next in verse 8. "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Please understand that as Christians, the reason we are here on this planet, the reason that we are breathing air on planet Earth, is to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Jesus gave the church his great commission, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are here on this planet as Christians to testify of Christ. We are here to be witnesses. We are here to share the gospel with people. God has placed us in our places of employment, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our sphere of influence, to be light and salt. We are called to be witnesses. We are to be those who will witness verbally, share the gospel, and we're to be those who live the Christian gospel and the Christian faith with our lives in front of people. And God has given us everything that we could possibly need to be good witnesses. He's given us the gospel. He's given us the message. You don't have to come up with your own message. You've got it. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And you know, the way I read the Scripture, all Christians are called to be bold witnesses. Fearless witnesses. Willing to take a stand for Christ in front of anybody. You see the greats doing that in Scripture. Paul the Apostle, oh man. What a bold witness in front of people that were so hostile to him. How about Peter and John? They were called to witness to the very people who had Jesus crucified. They stood before that group. And they witnessed. And so many Christians throughout history have been such bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. Fearless. I love what it says of John Bunyan. You've heard of John Bunyan. When liberty was offered to John Bunyan, then in prison, on condition of abstaining from preaching, he would consistently reply, "If you let me out today, I shall preach again tomorrow." There's a fearless witness. That's what we're called to be. But so often we're not. How can we become bolder? The fear of the Lord. Live in the fear of the Lord. Obey Him. Obey the Great Commission. But Pastor, I'm so scared. Yeah, but you don't answer to the people that you're scared of. Right? You answer to God. Look what Jesus said. I think this is pretty heavy. Verse 8. I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. That's very simple. If you acknowledge Jesus publicly, Jesus will acknowledge you before angels. If you deny Jesus, you'll be denied by Jesus before angels. And I think the real issue here is it's speaking about a conversion. Listen, if you are truly a born-again Christian, you will change and people will know that you're a Christian. You may not be the boldest witness out there, but there's going to be people in your life that know that you're a Christian, that there's been a change. There should be. If you're walking around in life and making sure that nobody knows that you're a Christian, denying Christ, I mean, you're that embarrassed. If you're one and you're here and there's not one person in your life that knows you're a Christian, then I'm going to have to say you're probably not a Christian. A true born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Someone who has tasted of the love and grace of God and has had their lives change. People take notice. And you'll stand before God one day. And if you've acknowledged Christ publicly, man, on that day when Jesus comes back, he'll say to you, hey, that's my man. That's my woman. What a faithful servant. What a faithful witness. Many people are afraid to witness because they don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Well, what does it say in verse 11? When they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Listen, when you witness and when you share with people and when you come into these situations where you're called to testify right on the spot, man, those are the most exciting times to witness. It is at that time that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Oh my gosh, you'll say stuff and you'll go, did I say that? You'll be amazed at how God, the Holy Spirit, will use you. But it's just getting over that fear. And again, it's this fear of man. I don't want anybody to know. My brother and sister in Christ, can I encourage you? Can I encourage all of us? Can I exhort all of us this morning to live in the fear of the Lord? It'll keep you from hypocrisy. It'll keep you from fearing man. And it'll make you a bold witness. Your life will take off. Perhaps there might be some here this morning who have never been saved. They've never given their lives to Jesus. And there's an excuse that you've kind of held on to all along. You're afraid of what other people are going to say. You're afraid of man. Listen, I hope you've seen very clearly from the Word of God this morning. What other people think about you and what other people can do to you, even if it's hurtful. Nothing in comparison to God, His authority, and His power. And I'm going to ask you this morning to take a bold stand for God. Get right with Him. But Pastor, all my friends are going to think I'm weird and I don't know who I'm going to hang out with. Hey, listen. What matters most? God will take care of your friends, believe me. God will probably save your friends if you took a step of faith and began to live for God and they would see your witness and your testimony. Let's all bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And I want to give an invitation this morning. Maybe that's you. You haven't become a Christian. You haven't put your faith in Christ because you're afraid of man. Be more afraid of God. And recognize that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to save you from eternal condemnation. Jesus was sent so that all of your sins could be forgiven, so that you could become a child of God. But you must put your faith in Christ. You must ask Him to be your Savior. You must become born again and He will change your life forever. Maybe you're the one who said, nothing but hypocrites in the church. Well,
Let's not talk about other Christians right now. Why don't you think about yourself? You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to come into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to publicly confess Christ this morning. Acknowledge Christ publicly. If you need to take that step, if you need to acknowledge Christ publicly, if you need to receive Christ this morning, as we play this quiet song, I'm going to ask that you would just get up out of your chair and make a public stand for Jesus, that you would come to Him, that you'd come stand right up here and say, "Today's the day I give my life to Christ." Would you play quietly and I'll just give that invitation? This would be a great opportunity for you to seal that decision in your life. I'm coming forward and I want to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You just come up and stand right here in the front. If that's you.
Amazing grace, the price was paid. Sins are washed away, and I am free today. Amazing grace, love was portrayed on a hill far away. You became my shade. How beautiful, how wonderful, and how beautiful, and how wonderful is love heaven sent, is love.
Okay, we're going to sing that one more time. We're going to sing that one more time, and you have an opportunity. If you need to, if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart, hey, don't resist. You've never received Christ as your Savior. If you need to make that public stand for Christ this morning, you have a great opportunity to do that. Daniel, let's sing that.
Amazing grace, the price was paid, sins are washed away, and I am free today. Amazing grace, love was portrayed on a hill far away. You became my shade.
Let's all stand together.
And how beautiful, and how wonderful, and how beautiful, and how beautiful, and how wonderful, and how beautiful, and how wonderful is love heaven sent. Is love heaven sent? Is love heaven sent to me?
Oh Lord, thank you so much. We praise your holy and mighty name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. By the fear of the Lord one departs from evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Go forth in the fear of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.